You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, well, thank you all for being here. This is a lot more folks than we had ever imagined, ever anticipated, so we hope that it's going to be worth your while. Based on what we've gone through, if somebody had sat down with us and told us about this beforehand, we would have been very grateful. So we hope you get something out of it. And so let's move in to here. Go ahead, you introduce yourself.
Again, my name is Susan Ragland. I'm the web content editor for Tarrant County College District. Just a little bit about Tarrant County College. We are a community college, however, we're the sixth largest institution of higher ed in Texas. So I think sometimes, not everyone, but some people think community college small. No, we're big. And so we kind of understand some of the trials that large institutions, some of the things they have to go through. And also with our background, we've also done things with smaller schools, so we kind of understand all sides. And so my main role is to make sure that all content on our district website has a consistent voice and is user-friendly. And that's the main thing we'll talk about today is how to get your content user-friendly.
I'm the webmaster. I'm sort of the lead technical administrator at the college for everything web. Before I moved into that role, I was the lead technical person for distance learning. And we had the third largest enrollments in the state of Texas in our distance learning program. I moved over to this role in November of 2007, and the district had been looking at a way to redesign their website for about a year and a half. And you know how that is, it was kind of in committee for a year and a half, and things were moving very slowly. And then they moved me up there, and I said, okay, I want to be live in a year, and so we need to get moving. What we did is I moved up there in November of 07, and in March of 08 is when actually Susan got started. And for those first 4 months, I was actually looking for content management systems somewhere to find out something that would be able to meet our needs. And what we did is as soon as she came on board, the next month we kind of drove the committee to make a decision on a content management system. And so we chose a system that we thought was going to be the best for us. And then in April of 08, like I said, we chose that. And then in June of 08, that company sent down a representative for us to get started with our process. We found that there were four major obstacles to our quest of having the holy grail of websites for our institution. That being said, those four are information architecture, wireframes, design, and content. Now, before I get past this, I kind of want to get a feel for who we have in the room. How many administrators do we have in the room? Okay. All right, a few. We will promise to be nice to you. How many technical folks do we have in the room? Okay, great. How many like public relations type marketing folks do we have? Okay, good, you got friends. And how many others do we have that aren't in one of those three? Okay, great, great.
How many wear all the hats?
Yeah, how many is... Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That's us, too.
The PowerPoint will be online.
Yes. So our four major obstacles for our quest, like I said, were information architecture, wireframes, design, and content. We want to focus on content in this session, but I want to get through these first three so we can get to that point, because this is really the steps that we took as we put our site together. You had to get through our information architecture. And our information architecture, you know, that's a big one that a lot of people think, okay, it was like the Knights of Nee and Monty Python and the Holy Grail, okay? It was a big, huge obstacle that people didn't think they were going to be able to get through. They didn't know where the shrubbery was going to come from. Same with us, you know, sort of like, okay, where do we start? Let's start with a shrubbery. And we worked our way through that. Now, as you're looking at your information architecture, you're going to find things in your content that are going to be able to help drive the change here, but you don't have to necessarily make a change in your IA to make a change in your content. Again, like it is with the next three, you want to start small and then move up, move your way up to the upper level pages. So find something that's kind of buried and then work your way out. The second obstacle was our wireframes. We had to, after we came up with a decent information architecture, we had to develop our wireframes. The French taunters, they were another big, huge obstacle to these folks. And again, they were to us as well. We had plenty of taunters out there. We had plenty of committees, plenty of subcommittees, subcommittees of committees. You know how that works. And so what we did is we worked within our wireframe. We came up with what we wanted, where we wanted to lay things out, went through a month and a half of actually building a wireframe, and got to the next step, which was our design.
Hold on one second.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Does anyone not know what a wireframe is? Okay, I'll do a brief. A wireframe is once you have an idea of, we'll start with the homepage, the links you would want on the homepage, where you want them placed. Before you ever send it to the designer, which David's going to talk about next, you need basically a skeleton of your web pages, of each type of web page, whether it's a home page or a regular content page. And it literally is just lines. You know, some people, our project manager, did them in Word. It's just basically a skeleton so you know where things will be on a page before you ever get going on the design.
Thank you. And so from our wireframes, we moved to our design, which was another big obstacle. It took us 2 months to get through a design for our site. One of the reasons that, you know, it took us a month and a month and a half and then 2 months as compared to other places, because, like I said, we had those committees out there, but Susan and I kind of grabbed this one and drove it through. We talked to folks, but we didn't want to have it sit in committee for another year and a half. So we kind of took it and said, okay, this is where we're going to go with this. This is based on the research that we've done. And luckily our folks there said, okay, well, y'all know what you're doing, so run with it. And it worked out well for us. Again, you're only ready for design after the previous stuff has been done. And again, it was a fairly large obstacle. It did take us several months to do. But I think what we came up with after all that process was good. Now, the final obstacle is our content. Okay, everybody knows that the content seems like it's just a little bitty old problem. You know, we have content, and that was what we were told all along the process. You know, all we got to do is get through this other stuff, and we already have content, so we'll just go ahead and bring what we have and put it in the new site. And that was where we drew the line and said, no. And we told everybody in the college, we said, everything that's going on this new site is going to be entirely brand new. It will be rewritten for the web, by the web, based on the things that Susan will talk about here in a minute, based on best practices and the research that we did, because all the stuff that was before was all the stuff that we'd had for the last 10 years, and some of that stuff was outdated by about 3 years. We had dates on there that it was very, very sad. But content, while it seems to be the smallest, you know, everybody goes, oh, yeah, we've got that. We can just put that in. Everybody knows what happens if you just ignore the little problems and what can happen when they launch at you, you know. And Susan said the next picture was too graphic, so I left it off. But everybody remembers in the movie what happened next, okay? So I'm going to let Susan talk about actually what we went through and how what the best practices for content building are.
Yes. Okay. People don't want to be marketed to. They want to be communicated with. And I think we all understand this idea, you know, when someone tries to sell us something and they're being kind of schmoozy, it really, I think, unnerves many of us, and I know it unnerves me. So when we approach our web content, we ought to take the approach of having a conversation with people visiting our site. We don't want to flood it with marketees. We don't want to flood it with flowery language. I think a lot of times, especially considering that often on our campuses, we have faculty writing content for their department or discipline pages. And so they tend to write like a faculty member. They're using flowery language and they want it to sound really good. They want it to sound smart. But what that actually does is turns off users and it makes it more difficult for them to find the information they want. What we'll do, just to illustrate this point, and I'm not sure how far back you'll be able to see the example very well, but we're going to look quickly at a web page. And I compiled this web page. I looked at, gosh, this was last summer, probably hundreds, literally hundreds of different higher ed web pages at their discipline pages, content. And some of this is verbatim from several sites. So what we'll do is we're going to look at a page for child development studies at Example College. What I want you to do is for a minute put yourself in the position of someone who would be visiting a college site. Maybe you're a student or a parent, and you want to know, do they offer a degree or maybe a certificate of completion? For those of you that, community colleges, we often have certificates of completion. Is there information about required courses? What about careers? Right now, a lot of people are really interested in what kind of jobs can I get if I study this subject? And is there a way to contact someone for more information? I'm going to give you a gimme, a little sneak peek into a couple slides ahead. I will tell you that research shows you have 10 to 15 seconds to capture the attention of someone before they click away from your page. This means when they're quickly reading through, and reading is used loosely, which we'll talk about, that's it, 10 to 15 seconds. If they don't find a word that they're hunting for, they're going to click away. So what we'll do is, go ahead and click the next one. In a minute, I'm going to put content up on this. So you could ignore all of the navigation on the top and the left. Pretend that you have now come to the page you're pretty sure you need to be on, and I'm going to leave it up for 10 seconds and just read through it, see what you can find as far as information if you needed to know about this program. Okay, that was 10 seconds. It was a time deal. And there is a little bit of information in there. So did anyone find anything, especially the ones up front that probably could see a little better? No. They were welcoming and friendly. Okay, does that tell us about Child Development Studies program? Not so much. Okay. So they welcomed us. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's how we'll talk about that, right? Okay. What about all of this? What about all of that? I will say that if you came up to me, and I actually worked at Example College, and you said, I need to know about child and family studies, what can you tell me? And I answered you with, the Department of Child and Family Studies prepares early childhood and family life educators who respect diversity. Have I told you anything? Not really, especially when people are zipping through your page and you have 10 seconds to give them something to hold on to before they leave. So this is what we're going to fix. We're going to talk about fixing this, because even if you are unable to do a site redesign, and when we think of redesign, we automatically, well, some of us may not, think of making it pretty. Well, you can put lipstick on a pig, and it's still a pig. But we can change the content to at least make the information people are trying to find easier to find and better for them. So at least their user experience is better, even if you aren't able to go through a redesign, especially right now when we know everyone's budgets are being pulled back. Okay. So let's talk about the content then. We can try to attack this killer rabbit of content. We'll quickly talk about references and research, because there is a method to the madness. And then we'll talk about information on your page. Why is that important? And then writing, because the writing and the location actually tie back into each other. Jacob Nielsen and Bob Johnson. Okay, I think many of us may have heard of these two names. Jacob Nielsen, he helped found the Nielsen-Norman Group. He has this website, useit.com, where he puts out a newsletter, an electronic newsletter. Now, I will say this. Everything that Jacob Nielsen has on his useit site does not apply to us. Some of it applies to B2B websites. But a lot of what he has to say, we really can use, and it really is helpful for our type of website. And Bob Johnson, he's a proponent of higher education specifically, and he often goes to conferences and speaks on writing content, and you can also hire him to come to your institution for lots of money, and he will talk to you about writing content. So this is where a lot of the research has come from, but there are others that back up what we'll tell you today. Okay, what we're about to show you before we get started is a portion of an eye tracking study. Has anyone heard of an eye tracking study? Okay, a lot of people have. So we'll quickly show you what this looks like on a screen where someone has sat in front of a computer, visited a website. The website represented isn't our type of website, but it's to show you these blue dots and your eye dancing across the screen. This is how fast people are looking through your web pages. They're scanning. They're scanning your web pages. They're not reading it. Where the blue dot lingers, and if the eye lingers, the blue dot grows. And so it's jumping around. And that's important for our next, that's good, yeah, our next slide. Okay. This is a heat map image of eye tracking studies. This web page kind of represents, even though it's BNSF, this would represent the same type of page as a discipline page on a higher ed site. They've landed where they're pretty sure they know they're where they need to be. Now can they find the information they thought they would find? So what this has done is taken a bunch of those eye tracking studies and flattened it out. Where it's red, people looked the longest or the most, and then yellow and blue, hardly anyone gazed there, but a few did. And then, of course, if it's gray, then no one looked there. Not yet. Okay. Oh, does anyone have any idea of... Okay. But I do want to hear from you all. What, you know, some of you may have seen this. So what do you all see, or what implications do you think this holds when you see where people are looking on your web page? People are looking for headings. That's great. Anything else? Okay, I'll tell you. Next slide. Thank you. Okay, there are two names I've seen online, and one of our faculty 2 weeks ago gave me a third, so I'll share it as well. It was almost lunchtime, so when you hear it, you'll know why. But this is called the F pattern, or the golden triangle, because it's an inverted right triangle. Or if you're the faculty member right before lunch, it's the piece of pizza principle. He thought it looked like a slice of pepperoni pizza. We actually have every person who accesses our CMS, which is all faculty and staff right now. It's over 200 are in the system that contribute to our website. Everyone, before they're given access to the CMS, has to attend a full day of training. The first half is writing for the web. So I've condensed our training for you guys down to 30 minutes, and they're usually there a whole morning. and then in the afternoon, they learn how to access the CMS. So, okay, F pattern. So there's some implications for where people are looking on your site. They're not looking over here, are they? Where the ads are. They've named that now banner blindness. You know, people aren't looking there. They aren't looking toward the bottom of the page. They're trailing off. They're scanning across in a zigzag pattern. Sometimes this is also called the Z pattern. So they're scanning across. They aren't even getting to the end of a paragraph. So again, they're not reading our pages. They're scanning them. Okay? So he said headings are important. Subheadings are important. Make sure you all are using your heading 2 and heading 3s. Those of you who understand HTML, your H2s and H3s. I say that because usually the title of your page is an H1. Make sure you're using those effectively. Not only for your sighted visitors that are scanning the pages. That's really important for those of you interested in ADA and Section 508 compliance. That's really important. make sure that your first two paragraphs have the most important information. We use the word paragraph loosely. Paragraph on the web could be one sentence. It could be a set of bullet points with a heading. So make sure your most important stuff's at the top. And even when you're writing your bullet points, make sure that the first word or two in your bullet points have the information. Let's not say the Department of Nursing at Tarrant County College offers a bachelor's degree. The department at Tarrant County College offers blah, blah, blah. Well, once you're on the Department of Nursing's page on your own website, two sets of words that are no longer information carrying on that page are Tarrant County College, Department of Nursing. They know they're there. Now what's important is what you offer. And so make sure that when you write your content, you keep in mind where you are on your site. Because more likely than not, your logo's at the top, so they know that they're on your school's page. And usually somewhere at the top of your page, you have some kind of heading for the department or discipline, Office of Financial Aid, wherever you are, it's on the page. Any questions? Yes. I think it all is smushed into the same types of studies. I don't know if they've separated it completely out. But when people are reading, they're scanning left to right. And that is because our language is read left to right. If you go to, we've done this in our classes for our faculty, actually, Al Jazeera's website, you can tell their ads are on the left because they read right to left. When people are scanning, they're zipping across and down. So if you have a bulleted list, you can guarantee they're just zipping down those first words of your bulleted list. They're not reading the whole bullet list. Unless they find a piece of information, a key word that they're already hunting, then they probably will stop and actually sort of read what you have to say. Because when they're looking at our pages, they're hunting. They have these words in their mind. They're thinking admissions. And they're looking for A. They're hunting for admissions. And if they find it, then they're going to stop. And then they'll kind of read around or scan what you have to say about that. Does that answer? Not really? Okay. Before you start writing your content, assume that people visiting your site do not know anything about your org chart. How often are we limited to creating our web pages based on our organizational chart? Our website, when we started looking, okay, we had, at the time we had 4 campuses, we now have 5. So 5 campuses, each campus has their own breakdown of divisions, academic divisions. Each division has their own departments. They are not uniform across the district. So in order for a student previously to find anything on our website about fire service training, they had to know it was on Northwest campus, and then they had to know it was in a particular division, and then they could find it. Why? Why did we do that? Why is it buried? Why can't they come to our website, find a list of programs, and find fire service training? So we had to figure out, okay, our org chart, we've got to go all the way down to the discipline level because these other things mean nothing to a site visitor. Okay? Your institution's lingo, if you have any special lingo, don't assume that anyone else knows it. Tied in with your institution's logo, it could just be higher ed lingo. We found, again, with talking to our academic counselors and advisors, that students who were coming in did not know what core curriculum was. And for a community college, that's important because they need to take that block so they can then transfer to a 4-year. Well, everyone coming in, all the students, they called that their basics. They said, I need my basics. So they could never find it on our website because we sure weren't calling it the basics. And so that's what we did. We went out and we talked to people. We actually have one of our coworkers here. He's going to be shy now, maybe embarrassed. He's in our information center. And we worked closely with them because they get all the phone calls for the whole district. We worked closely with our admissions people. We figured out what are people saying and looking for. So on our webpage about core curriculum, we renamed it basics/core curriculum. Now we've met them where they are, and we've educated them on what we call it. Okay? And don't assume they know everything about your program or department. You know, our distance learning may be different than your distance learning, and we may do things differently. So don't assume that everyone or prospective students or anything know everything about the particular department you're trying to discuss on your webpage. Okay? And again, put yourself in the position of all these constituencies that may be visiting your page. It is all about the students, but you also have these other visitors. And if you can keep these other visitors happy, it might make your job a little easier, which I think we all know. Okay? Okay, so writing. Right? No. We don't write novels the same way we write a newspaper article, and it's not the same as we write a classified ad. If you wrote a classified ad the way you wrote a novel, you would never sell anything, except maybe a novel that you paid a bunch to print in the paper. So what they found with this research is 79% of people scan web pages like we've been talking about today. That means they're not reading the content. The first rule of thumb that's usually given is 50% of what you would normally put maybe in something print, that's how much you want on your web page. Well, usually when I say this in our training sessions, this is the minute I have one or two faculty shoot up their hand. Well, I have to say what I want to say, and I'm not going to say half of it. Well, I don't want you to say half of the many steps. I don't want you to say half of the important things. We're just talking about how can you say it in half as many words, because we can cut out a lot of words and still get the same message across. And here's one of the big ones. Cut the fancy language and that welcome mat that we cut out on that first slide. Cut it out. They know what page they're on. There's no need to welcome them. Especially when we see that that first paragraph or two is your prime real estate on your web page. Why welcome them? They know they're there. Don't put it. another kind of... Yeah? Yes, I will say the home pages are slightly different because people expect something different from a home page. But we try not to put... There's not a lot of flowery stuff, language on the home page. We have links to our constituencies. We have links to particular places that we had to put because, you know, when the library is in on your committee meetings and the library person says 100 times, library will be on the homepage, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, library, library, library. Wait, no, the library will be there. Okay. So there are some things we know we can't compromise on and we have to put them. There are things, again, our constituencies, we broke them down. There's a few more markety type things on your homepage, because then you're also told that your homepage is a marketing tool. So the homepage, there's a fine line, so it is a little different. another kind of welcome mat that you all may be familiar with, called the welcome letter from the chancellor, president, department chair. Okay. Yeah. So we can't cut that. But we can move it. So, yeah, bury it. So what we did was, in that, it took some finesse. You know, when you first click, for our example, if you click on a campus page, it used to be the welcome letter from the campus president. And what we did was we made it a subpage. They got to keep their welcome letter. And we just sold it to them that, wow, now we can use this page to give them stuff that they're always calling you guys about, like what's your location or your campus office hours, because our different campuses happen to have a little bit different hours. And we had a couple special tools. Oh, we have this nice new area on the right where we can highlight special programs for your campus. I mean, there's ways that, you know, we do have to meet them halfway, but some welcome mats we can't kill, but we can move them. Yeah. Huh? Oh. And you have to put the www. Why, you ask? He asked why we had to put the www. We need to get a little better friends with some more of our IT folks, I think. Is that the best way to put it? Okay. Oh, we know that. Yeah. So. We're not acting like this whole process we went through was a walk in the park either. We know things are tough. Okay. another tip, don't use clever spelling. Now, this is a ridiculous example, but this gets the point across. If you're trying to be fun and spell physics with an F, no one will find it. Not only in search engines, but if they're scanning your page, they're thinking of the word physics, and they're hunting for this word physics. They're not going to find it like this, okay? use terms your target audience is looking for. This kind of ties in with what we're talking about with our core curriculum and basics. Talk to people. What are the prospective students saying? What words are they looking for? Even on your faculty side, if you all put things on your website for faculty, like our, we don't necessarily have an intranet, so we have to accommodate a bunch of things on our site. What are faculty calling that one form they can never find? Because maybe we're calling it what HR is calling it, and faculty are not calling it that. Yeah. Yes, a lot of times it came from a couple of places, and at our institution they tie in together. One is our enrollment services office. They actually go out to schools, and they're the ones that do the college fairs. We also, again, talk with our information center. They're the ones fielding all the calls, the call center. So they're the ones getting all the calls, and they're the ones who say, gosh, all we get is people who can't find what are the basics, what are the basics. No one's asking us about core curriculum, but that's what they mean. After our phone agents talk to them for 3 minutes, we know now what they mean. And so that's, you may just have to tap into, because every school's different, what are some of the resources you can find? Maybe it is walking down to the admissions office. You know, what are students asking for? If you all have admissions counselors, sit down with them, ask them, what are students needing? What can't they find? What are they wanting? This is an example. Oh, yeah, sorry.
From another large community college.
Yes.
How do you handle the credit?
We have, did you want to?
What we did is we took and broke it out. So continuing ed has their whole, basically their sub-site to the to our site. Mm-hmm. So that way when people go to the site, they know they're looking for credit stuff. But if they go to the continuing ed site, it's all about everything that they do, from continuing ed to corporate services to business training, all of that. We kind of kept them separate, and then we have a Google search, but we also have another type of search that's sort of a man-made search engine. And on each of those answers that we provide to folks, we give them the credit and the non-credit / continuing ed answer to those, so that they know where to go once they get on site.
And the other thing we do, a lot of our credit programs and continuing ed, they're not necessarily the same, but they're related, like dental hygiene and dental assistant. We link back and forth to him, to each other. And also on our main page, we have a drop down on courses and programs. And we have a page that talks about credit versus non-credit, because some people may not know. And honestly, we were in the strategic planning for continuing ed for the district for the next 2 years out. And you all probably know this already. Did you know that offices don't know what other offices are doing at your school? Yeah, we're in there, and just so happens one of our coworkers in our building, because again, we're spread out over the whole county, she does a faith-based initiative on the credit side. Well, we're at a table with faith-based initiative on continuing ed, and I said, well, do you know Mara Payne? And I was like, And I said, yeah, she's faith-based initiative on the credit side. We have faith-based initiative on the credit side? I said, y'all need to talk, because y'all could be double-dipping, first of all, you know, when you're trying to get things done. And second of all, why not share resources? And so we try to link back and forth whenever we can, because just like with this faith-based initiative, a student, especially in a community college, may or may not care if they have a degree. They want to attain a career or a job. And so they may not care which route it is. And so we try to link back and forth between the two when we can. Okay, some things that you may know, or some of you may just only subconsciously know. Oh, what does that mean? Question? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, users expect underlined or colored text to be a hyperlink. We might think, oh, yeah, that's true. But then I know we still get faculty that submit something, they want to place emphasis on it, so they underline it. The problem is, again, when people are scanning, even if it's just this fast, they're going to try to click on that, and when they can't click or it doesn't work, it cognitively slows them down. And so we just want to make it things as easy as possible for them. Actually, on our CMS, we took away their ability to underline, and we took away all their fonts and colors. Yeah. Yeah. And if I still don't get phone calls, even though in training we tell them, but I want it red. I want it to stand out. You don't need it to stand out. It's fine. It's fine. Okay? So instead, use bold. Bold's your friend. But this is the other thing, we have to pull back the reins on them. Don't bold the whole sentence or the whole paragraph. It's different than in print. Yeah. Unless it's the assistant. No. Actually, yeah. Well, we emailed him. Our executive assistant to the chancellor submitted a form we needed for the H1N1 so employees could tell us if they were sick. And he had everything bolded. Everything was bold. And, David and I... It's all important. And David, and I was like, David, how do we handle this? It's Dr. Lace. And he's like, well, do you want to tell him? And I was like, okay. So I emailed him and I said, Dr. Lace, one of the things we have found is, and I explained to him, and Dr. Lace is very understanding. So he goes, okay, well then, let's just make it italics. So, yeah, we had to leave it italics. But at least it's not all bold, I guess. I don't know. Small victories. So, but if anyone asks you, you can tell them that the research shows the human eye can only pick up 2 to 3 words at a time when you're scanning. So if you have the whole sentence bold, you're not going to see it. You've actually negated the fact that you made it bold. Okay, we're going to zip through these in case there's any questions. This is an example off of Jacob Nielsen's website, and I just updated the slide last night at 10:30 because he has updated his page. So this was the original text from a Nebraska website, and if you were trying to find out about, quickly, the top 6 attractions in Nebraska, you'd have to read this whole thing. And I'm already turned off if I start to read. They're filled with internationally recognized attractions. Yay, Nebraska, but really internationally recognized attractions? If you're from Nebraska, I've been to Carhenge. I loved it. I'm just saying. Okay. So this, on his site last night, this increased the usability of this section of information by 124% by using bullet lists and cutting out all the, craziness. Boom. Now you can scan down again with the bullet list. You're not reading the paragraph. You can just scan the list if you are looking for a particular attraction, such as Carhenge. And there it is. Okay? Satan. Quickly. When doing this training also, we were called Satan by an English faculty. We kid you not. At first I thought he was kidding, and I don't know still. I don't know. Because we talk about the bullet list, and he's like, you are Satan. And I was like, awesome, I was unaware. And he said, you're contributing to the bulletization of the English language. And I sat there for a minute, and I was just at a loss, and I said, well, you know what? I didn't invent it. I didn't invent bullet lists, and I didn't invent this way to write. What I'm telling you is how people are reading. So if you want them to know what's on your page and you want to get your information across, this is how you have to write. So I still think he thinks we're Satan, but that's okay. So we're going to zip through these real fast. This is just a few examples. The whole sentence is bold here at the annual awards ceremony, but why not just highlight those important dates, only have them bold. We went ahead and made this deadline bold too. Okay? So the next thing, what about this click here? Okay, click here is not important. They're scanning. The first thing that stands out to them is click here. Why? It's blue. It's the most different on the page. Well, why do we make them stop and either click it to find out what is this or read, this whole sentence? Make criteria the hyperlink. I still get this, even though we train them on this. I think they just want to hear me scream. So rewrite your hyperlinks to do double duty. And in addition to that, maybe suggest to your content contributors, we go through this all the time, do you realize that you didn't actually link to the form that you're needing them to get, and you complain about the foot traffic to your office? Put the form up. Suggest to your content contributors if they can include forms, make things easier for the end user where they don't have to call you or come in or email you. That kind of helps everybody, actually. So just by doing those few things, we've made the things that are important bold, made our hyperlinks actually do double duty. We've considered our content. We've shortened this up by more than 50% of the words. Okay, back to our first example. This is one way you can rewrite your content and increase usability for a discipline page by using subheadings. And it naturally falls in the F pattern without even trying. You don't even have to try to think about the F pattern if you follow those guidelines on how to write your content to make it more user-friendly. Okay? Here are our reference links on some of this writing stuff. We went through that last part pretty fast. Any questions? Yes. Oh.
It's going to be on the website here in just a little while.
Yeah, we turned in our PowerPoint.
I'm in the process of doing all this with College Park Science at our university right now, and I have some departments that are like, no, we're not
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. To repeat her question for the podcast, she wants to know, how do you get faculty buy-in on doing it this way rather than those long theoretical paragraphs? Well, that is a hurdle. That is a huge hurdle. I'll tell you one thing that helped us was we had buy-in over the faculty. We had several vice chancellors who understood. They were willing to listen to us when we said, now we didn't just say, this is Susan and David's idea, and it's going to be great. We had research. We did all this research, so much research. And now you all can have this PowerPoint of research to share. We had buy-in above the faculty, so they had to. Now, don't get me wrong. Every day, I still get emails, and it's a back-and-forth battle. But we did have buy-in above the faculty, so that the faculty knew, well, so-and-so and so-and-so, you know.
And just because we've got the buy-in from the faculty doesn't mean we still, like you said, this is an everyday thing. Right now, we're still fighting emails back and forth right now with the folks from the libraries, because the libraries feel that the first thing they need to show is their catalog and that stuff. And we're trying to explain to them that they have so many more services than just their catalog. And so, you know, it does take a little while sometimes to do this, but... And if you've got rational, logical thinkers, which faculty are not, then it may be easier. But if you don't, you just have to sit down and kind of.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, yeah. Sometimes, sort of like the italics on the form. You know, okay, this is the way it's going
to
work.
Analytics in any way to say, okay, we'll do it this way 6 months, then I'll do Google Analytics, and we're going to show you what we've got.
That's what we're in the process of doing now. We've got Google Analytics in place, and we're waiting for a good time period where we can show them. Because that's on several fronts. We have battles about alias URLs. We have battles. We've got all kinds of battles. So we know you have battles. But if you take them little pieces at a time, that's what we're saying. You may not even be able to overhaul your whole site. But if you can start with these other groups, small, and work your way up, it may help. Yes, you had a question?
I was also going to suggest that you could follow the F design there and pick a spot that appears to be prominent, say over in the right. Give them a little area.
That's a good idea. Yes, he asked about how we do a half day of training on writing, and can we share those notes? Yes, and actually I'll give you my school web address if you want it. It's Cartella, Cartella, .tccd.edu, and then you'll have to do a search for Susan Ragland, or just Ragland. And when you come to my page, that's my employee web page. There I have documents, and I have all of my notes that we use for our training are in there. Oh, Ragland. R-A-G-L-A-N-D. And soon, actually, I told them after I was through with this conference, there's a blog area for our employees. I will be using my blog to also give them tips on writing. And so anyone who wants to follow, or you can find me at I Like Physics on Twitter.
And it looks like we're out of time now, but we'll be here. And if
with
you have any
PH.
Questions, please feel free to swing by and ask us. We'll be very glad to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.